This is Jack with you here, and we at Ritter Farms would all like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and that the Lord might bless you in the new year, and that we might always give the praise to Him. Today, our scripture comes from the book of Luke, the second chapter, the 8th through the 14th verse. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Today's text is the announcement to shepherds watching over their flock that the Messiah, Christ the Lord, had been born. The announcement wasn't made to kings and dignitaries. It was made to lowly shepherds, those at the bottom of society, not at the top. The most important announcement that would ever be made in the history of mankind was made to poor, uneducated servants tending their master's flock. And if they had not been told by the angels, I doubt that the shepherds would have been able to find the Christ child who was born in a stable, the most unlikely place to find the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The instructions were clear and detailed. The shepherds would find the child in the city of David, lying in a manger, a feeding trough for cattle. Just like the alien sinner today, without divine intervention, he would have no ability to find Christ. The angels brought glad tidings of great joy to all people, people of every nation in the world and every generation in time. Even though we are not exhorted in the Bible to celebrate the birth of Christ, we are reminded of the good news that a Savior has been born, and any time we can proclaim that, we are proclaiming the good news. I don't know about the entire world, but I can say with certainty that there isn't a place in this country that people don't know about the celebration that is going on right now. Everywhere you go, you see wreaths, lights, decorations, and wrapped gifts. Weeks ahead of time, people begin their preparation for this yearly celebration called Christmas. Christmas may have begun as a pagan holiday during Roman times rather than a biblical mandate, but to many, it is a celebration of God's gift of His Son to a people He chose out of Adam's fallen race. While the secular world celebrates Santa Claus, the Christian world rejoices in the Savior's birth. No one wants to eliminate the worldly things associated with Christmas, such as family get-togethers, huge spending sprees, causing much indebtedness, the giving of gifts, and all sorts of worldly celebrations. They just want to eliminate Christ. And while no one wants to abolish Santa, the efforts to eliminate nativity scenes and other activities that recognize Christ's birth seem to grow every year. In this country, there's a war on Christmas. It's not truly a war against celebrating a special holiday, but it's a war against Christ Himself. America can celebrate birthdays of worldly figures, such as presidents, athletes, movie stars, civil rights leaders, and all kinds of dignitaries. But, oh no, don't you dare celebrate the birth of Christ. When the Christ child was born to Mary, the world didn't know Him or worship Him. Those who knew Him and worshiped Him were the shepherds to whom the child was revealed through the angel's announcement, and the wise men who followed the star and brought Him gifts. John 1 and 10 says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That's also true today. The world doesn't know Him, or they wouldn't be trying to get rid of Him. If it had pleased God to do so, He could have made the announcement of Christ's birth to the entire world so that all would know who He was and all would bow down and worship Him. But He didn't. The only ones who worship Him in spirit and in truth are those to whom the Holy Spirit has revealed Him. If it pleased God, He could reveal Christ to all those who are at war against Him today, but He hasn't. Religious men today think they can do what God has chosen not to do. They think they can reveal Christ to those who don't know Him. They think they can convince men to get saved who don't have any spiritual ability. God's ways are higher than man's ways. Natural man can't understand God's ways, but God reveals Himself through His Word to those who have been given spiritual eyes and ears. During Christ's time here on earth, those who had not been given spiritual eyes and ears wanted Christ dead. They wanted to see Him killed. They were the ones like Herod. They feared Christ. He was a threat because He stood for purity, righteousness, and justice. Man is no different today. He wants rid of God because God is a threat to his sinful lifestyle. False gods and false religions are no threat to man because he can do as he pleases and feel good about it. To the world, the Christmas story is just a story of a baby born in a manger. They don't see the birth of a Redeemer because they don't know the Redeemer. Let me tell you about the birth of the Christ. The Christ who isn't just a baby in a manger. He is the Redeemer of His people. Many of the aspects of Christ's birth teach us God's ways in the new birth. When the angel appeared to Mary in Luke 1 to announce that she was highly favored of God and would conceive a child who would be the Son of God, Mary asked the angel. She asked the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Mary didn't realize that God would not need man's help in this immaculate conception and birth. And today, many fail to realize that God doesn't need man's help or permission in this miraculous regeneration or new birth. God alone gives life. The virgin birth, just like the new birth, is a miraculous action of God without human help. The angel's answer to Mary is this: "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." That's exactly the way it is in the new birth. The Holy Ghost comes upon God's dear children, and God's power overshadows them. He does not force them. He conforms them to His will. I hear so many people say that salvation is up to man because God won't force you to do anything against your will. Then in the very next breath, they say that they pray for God's will to be done in their lives. What a contradiction. Paul asks in Romans, "Who hath resisted His will? Doesn't the potter have power over the clay?" Mary did not resist God's will. She said to the angel, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary's song in verses 46 through 53 exalts God. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For that he that is mighty hath done me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. The Holy Ghost comes upon God's chosen and overshadows them and awakens them in the new birth. God's chosen, the redeemed, those who have been awakened in the new birth, they are the ones who rejoice and glorify God in His salvation. They are the ones who proclaim the birth of the Savior each year. If we proclaim the birthday of George Washington, if we can do that, if we can proclaim the birthday of the first president of the United States, George Washington, the father of our country, and we can proclaim Abraham Lincoln, who freed the slaves, and we can proclaim Martin Luther King, who fought for civil rights, then why can't we proclaim the birthday of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of a people chosen by God? The story of Christ's birth also shows God's ways in choosing according to His own good pleasure those to whom He reveals the Savior. We've already talked about God's angels revealing the birth of the Messiah to lowly shepherds out in the field tending their flocks at night. He could have made the announcement to the whole world, but he didn't. Matthew tells a story of the wise men who came from the east to Jerusalem to worship the King of the Jews, whose star they had seen. When they asked Herod about the star, now Herod, he was troubled. All of Jerusalem was troubled. Apparently, none of them knew anything about this King of the Jews, the wise men spoke of. Why didn't they know? The wise men had followed the star to Jerusalem, but how did they know that the star would lead them to the King of the Jews? Matthew 2:4-8 says, Herod was so upset that when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. The wise men were chosen by God. They carried gifts and were seeking Christ in order to worship him. God did not reveal Christ to some who sought him, like Herod and the Pharisees and Sadducees, who paid Judas to betray Christ. They sought Christ not in order to worship him, but to get rid of him. The unregenerate today who celebrate Christmas are not celebrating the birth of a Savior. They are celebrating a pagan holiday with Santa Claus and elves and office parties, and they want to remove Christ from the celebration. Herod was not a Jew, so he didn't know where the Christ would be born. He demanded that the chief priests and scribes tell him. But even when he found out that it was in Bethlehem of Judea, he still didn't know where to find him. Herod told the wise men to search diligently for the child, and when they found him, to come and let him know, so he could also worship the child. Matthew 2:9-13 says, when the wise men had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the altar, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Look what a child of God will do in the presence of his Redeemer. He'll fall down on his face and worship him, not try to remove him from the scene. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Look at the actions of the obedient child of God, willing to do as God instructed, to defend and to protect the Savior. If only God's children would be more obedient today in defending Christ against those who seek to destroy him. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The star that led the wise men was bright enough for them to see from another country. But Herod and those in Jerusalem either didn't see it or didn't know what it meant. This can be best explained by what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth. But the carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The star led the wise men directly to where the child was, but it didn't lead anyone else there. Why? Because God allows those he chooses to see his salvation. Noah saw the Savior in the ark. Abraham saw the Savior in the ram provided in the thicket. Moses saw the Savior in the serpent lifted up in the wilderness. The shepherds saw the Savior in the babe in a manger. Simeon saw the Savior in the baby presented to God in the temple. The wise men saw the Savior in a young child. Zacchaeus saw the Savior in a man who would have compassion on such a lowly person. The apostles saw the Savior in the healer of the lame, the blind and the lepers. The thief on the cross saw the Savior in his lowest hour. as God turned his back on his only begotten Son, who took on himself the sins of a redeemed people. We see our Savior today by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the quickening of a dead heart to a life in Christ. God has allowed men only once in the history of mankind to be able to lay hands on Christ. And what did they do? They crucified him. That's exactly what man would do today if he could get his hands on Christ, but he can't. Christ is a quickening spirit beyond the reach of the unregenerate. They cannot get rid of Christ by killing one Christian or dozens of Christians, so they try to make Christians forget about Christ by removing him from Christmas and our money and our courthouses and our schools and all the public places. They want to take Christ out of all of our lives. In Luke 2, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord. And there was a man in Jerusalem by the name of Simeon who was a devout man. It had been revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit drew him to the temple the same day Mary brought Jesus to present him to the Lord. Simeon took the baby in his arms, and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon knew that Jesus was the Son of God. It's like Job, who said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." Job told God, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." The unregenerate are not like Job. They don't hate themselves for what they are. They hate God for what he is. Even after Jesus began his ministry, the Jews could never figure out if he was the Son of God. John 10 and 24 says, "Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them and told them, "And you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name? They bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep." That's it. That says it all, every bit of it, straight from the Son of God. Those who don't know who he is are not his sheep. When Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then Jesus saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Those who know Christ know him by revelation. It's the same today. Those who know Christ, they know him by revelation, not by intellect, not by making a decision, not by giving him permission, but by revelation of the Holy Spirit. There is yet another message that comes from the Christmas story. From the Christmas story here, "He that is greatest among you, he shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Nothing teaches humility like the birth of Christ. He was born in Bethlehem in a stable, surrounded by smelly animals and hay and manure, and laid in a manger, a feeding trough for cattle. You can't get much lower than that. Jesus, he was from Nazareth. In the first chapter of John, Philip is telling Nathanael that they have found that the Messiah. Philip says, "We've found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, this Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing? Could there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was a boonies, a small town in Galilee, a boondocks. It was back in the sticks, not really Messiah country. He grew up the son of a carpenter, and became a carpenter by trade. Everything about his birth and his background demonstrates meekness and humility. He taught his followers humility and servitude. in spite of the fact now, in spite of the fact that Christmas has become commercialized, people can't help but know that Christmas is a celebration of Christ's birth. They may not tolerate his birth. They may not even believe he is the Son of God, but they know he was born. Even the atheists who claim that God doesn't exist, they know that Christmas commemorates the birth of Christ. Now, since the 2,000 years ago, God used angels and a star. Most people then, they didn't know who Christ was, but God announced his birth anyway. At least once a year now, God uses every human instrument he's pleased to use to announce that his son was born in Bethlehem. Whether it's a nativity scene or a Christmas play, people hear the Christmas story. Whether it's in a church or a school or on the courthouse yard, people hear the Christmas story. God, he's still announcing the birth of his son. At least once a year, this nation has to face the fact that Christ was born of a virgin some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. There are people in this country who are waging a war on Christmas. The atheists and the American Civil Liberties Union, they begin early each November. They try to erase every reference to God and Christ, removing him out of Christmas. They wage war on nativity scenes and school Christmas plays. They try to ban the reading of the Christmas story from the Bible everywhere they can. If he didn't want us to remember Christ's birth, he wouldn't have told the story in the scriptures. He wouldn't have told us about the angels giving the shepherds the glad tidings of great joy. He wouldn't have told us about the star leading the wise men to worship the Christ. Christ's birth, I'm telling you now, I'm telling you of a truth today. Christ's birth is good news that is to be proclaimed. Are we willing to let the heathen, the atheists, the unregenerate, the false religions of this world strip us of the privilege of worshiping the one true God? Or are we going to be like the old prophet Daniel as he turned his face toward the east and he prayed to his God 3 times a day? Can we be like Jonah? Can we be like Jonah as he was when he was in the fish's belly, in the belly of the whale, and he looked toward the holy city, he looked toward Jerusalem, and cried out to God? Has anyone ever told these people that God can't be stopped? He brought in a heavenly host of angels to announce the birth of his son to the shepherds in the field. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." That's what we are able to proclaim in the birth of a Savior. Good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He put a star in the sky that was so bright you could see it in other countries. And he brought wise men from a far country all the way to Bethlehem to worship his son. If God can announce the birth of his son with a heavenly host of angels to shepherds and use a star to bring wise men from a far country to worship him, then God can reveal his son to whomever he pleases, and there is nothing the atheist or the ACLU can do about it. I'd like to know exactly what it is that they are afraid of. What makes them so frantic when they hear of a school putting up a nativity scene and planning a Christmas program? There has to be more to it than their radical view of separation of church and state. The United States Congress, now, it still opens each session with a prayer, but you don't see the ACLU all over them about separation of church and state. Both the House of Representatives and, the Senate, they have a chaplain who opens each session with prayer and conducts Bible study for the members of Congress. If the war on Christmas is all about separation of church and state, then why aren't the atheists and the ACLU attacking Congress? The truth is, today, the attack on Christmas by atheists and radicals and the ACLU is not an attack on anything about Christmas. Not Santa Claus, not Christmas trees, not even gifts, not decorations, not anything related to Christmas. I'm telling you what it's up to. a battle against. They're trying to get rid of Christ now. That's the way it's been from the beginning. It's an attack on Christianity by those who want to substitute worship of Mother Earth for worship of God. We have been overwhelmed. Now, we've been overwhelmed this season by claims that man is destroying the planet and altering weather patterns. These earth worshipers contend that man is causing the planet to warm, and they must take steps to correct it. And that includes efforts to destroy belief in and worship of God, who is the only one who truly, God, he's the only one that truly controls the elements of nature. God is still in control. I'm telling you today, he's still in control. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can send fire from heaven, and he can calm the raging storm. God will not. He'll not put up with man's arrogance and corruption much longer. There has always been persecution of Christians in the world. But this time, man has overstepped his bounds. In his arrogance, he is claiming the power to affect nature. He is claiming power that belongs to God. Man cannot even predict the weather accurately, much less affect it. 2,000 years ago, God announced the birth of his Son, the Redeemer of his people, with a heavenly host of angels, bringing glad tidings of great joy to all the world. He used a star to lead wise men from a far country to the place where the Christ child was. As we celebrate the birth of Christ in our homes this Christmas, we can rejoice and give glory to God, who is the one, true, almighty, sovereign God of the universe. I tell you one thing, this might not be the exact date of the birth of the Christ child. We may not be told in the scriptures to celebrate his birth, but we are exhorted so many times to remember his birth. If not so, it wouldn't be in the Bible. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I want to remember the birth of the Christ child, the Savior of his people. I want to proclaim his name every day. I don't want our government taking the Christ out of our everyday life, that we cannot worship him. We saw that so many times throughout the Old Testament when God was taken out of society. And what happened to those societies? That they finally, sooner or later, they came crumbling down. Without God, without God as a foundation, then there is no foundation. You cannot set a foundation up on man. When you do, it's going to crumble. It's just a matter of time. We here at Ritter Farms want each and every one of you to have a Merry Christmas out there and worship the one true sovereign God. Give the praise, the honor, and the glory to him.